bring some Bibles forward, if I could. It's always really great to come up here and look over this congregation, people visiting, people have been here every Sunday for years, and everybody in between, and see that fellowship going on. It's great to be part of a loving church. We have some Bibles for you if you need a Bible. Kirk's right here. There are others. Just raise your hand. That's all you need to do, and you'll get a Bible. I see one over there. There you go. Great. Wonderful. This morning, I have the extreme pleasure. It is an extreme pleasure for me to bring to you the Word of God from a section of Scripture that has been such a rich and encouraging portion for me throughout almost 50 years of Christ's faithfulness. So consequently, because I am so touched by this section of Scripture, and it is so rich when it comes to pointing us to Christ and Him alone, where we find everything in Him, I made sure to ask my wife for some Kleenex, just in case. Because I'm an old guy, and this kind of stuff still really touches me. Even more than when I was first a Christian. But this section of Scripture will put us where we need to be, to a place where, hopefully, prayerfully, through the work of the Holy Spirit, it will tenderize our hearts toward Christ, where He will become preeminent in our lives, where we will desire Him above life itself, where we will see the work of God from the past into the present and into the future, all wrapped up in 12 short verses. It is the beginning of Paul's letter to this church in Ephesus, and for the first three chapters, which we certainly would take weeks to go through, gives the encouragement of what God has done for us. Just prior to the service, I was talking to a brother, and he came up to me and he said, "Oh, I love this section of Scripture." He says, "There's nothing that tenderizes the heart to know that you have nothing to do with it." I like that. It's all God. It's all about Him. It's all for the praise of His glory. Everything we have is based on His love and divine grace, which we will find out that He has just poured out upon us. Paul begins in the third verse after he gives his salutation to the saints, the holy ones. Do you realize that if you're in Christ today, God sees you as a holy one? You're a saint. No need to wait to be canonized. We're saints. Love it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And may I add, in Christ alone. And we'll be singing that at the end of the service. Oh, it's such a good modern hymn. You're going to love it. I could just preach for days on just that, huh? I mean, that all-inclusive picture that Paul gives us. But what I want to do today is I want to read all of the verses at once so we can get the impact of this, so that we can see the personal pronouns, so we can see the in, so that we can get the picture of all that God has done for us and through us and will do for us in the future. Because when we see what God has done for us, we will see who God is. And the whole reason that God chose to bring us to Himself through Christ is so that He would have a people for His own possession, a gift, a bride, if you will, for His Son, the bridegroom, so that we might be a people who were a people of praise and worship, ultimately giving our very selves to Him without reservation, trusting Him through faith in who He is, that He might use us to receive glory in this world before the angels and before those who don't know Him yet. And so I want us to get the impact of this, and then we'll go back through it quickly and take a look. So here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Take these things to heart, church. And if you're not a believer yet, if you haven't trusted in Christ, this might be your morning to just say yes to all that God has for you. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things upon earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, if that weren't enough, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge to our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. May the Lord do what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, enlighten the eyes of our heart this morning. May we forget of ourselves this morning for a moment and concentrate on him, as the great old song goes. Paul begins by eulogizing the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's humiliation, his Father, even though Jesus was the second person of the Holy Trinity, was his God. His Father is a unique fatherhood for Christ. He is the only begotten emanating from the Father, equal in nature and in essence. But in his humility, he said, even on the cross, I go to be with my God, my Father. It is a beautiful picture. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the eternal God, the Lord. He is Yeshua, the one who saves, Jehovah saves, and he is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. God has blessed us, past tense and continuing on in an ongoing tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And may I repeat, nowhere else are the spiritual blessings that God wants to give his people through the work of God the Holy Spirit except in Christ. And so if you are in Christ, God has given you everything. And we can stop right now and move these chairs out of the way and get on our faces, couldn't we? Get on that place, you know, where we find ourselves so humbled out that God would take sinners who had nothing to do with him whatsoever, and as we'll see in a minute, choose to put his love upon us in an eternal decision in his eternal mind, long before the foundation of the world, long before one speck of matter was spoken into existence by him. God chose to place his love upon you and choose you to be his for all of eternity. Since God knows everything and since he is eternal, it is a decision that actually never happened. Forever, God has loved you. What a mind-blowing thing. And as we would say back in the 60s, man, that's heavy. That's heavy. Whoa, dude. Well, we say, man, well, dude came in later. Yeah, heavy. Oh, so good. Oh, man, we've got to have this stuff sink in, don't we? Because we're so much into ourselves, huh? It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit all the time. Every spiritual blessing that the Holy Spirit can give us that could come from heaven as we sit in the heavenly places with Christ under his authority, as we'll find out later, joint heirs with Christ, we get in Christ. We get it all. Out of that comes a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of worship. And so when Paul says, for instance, in Romans 12, that we should present our bodies as living sacrifices to Christ based on his mercy, we go, yes, that's very reasonable service, that God would use us because he's given us everything. Best thing of all, of course, is that he's given us himself. It is, as we sang earlier, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the past, God chose us in Christ that we would be his. Before we could ever do anything to merit his choice of love for us, simply chose to love us. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't merit it by our works. We didn't even exist except in the mind of God. Amazing, amazing. You should rejoice in that. God has always loved you. His love goes before time, human history, and after into eternity. Forever, God will love you. It's the only love you can truly count on, isn't it? It's never fickle. It never changes based on us. It's all based on his goodness and his choice. Wow. That's a trip. There's another one, sorry. I'm old, I'm, you know, all of us old Jesus freaks, we just, the vernacular comes out. He chose us for a purpose. Not only a purpose, but a result, because this is the doctrinal part of the letter, the first three chapters. This is not the practical part. You got to wait for chapter 4 on that, where he tells us that we should walk in a manner worthy of the calling, this high calling that we've been given. The New Testament pattern always, and Paul's epistle certainly, is to give us doctrine first, the truth about what God has done for us, which is the foundation for then how we act. We don't want to get it backwards, do we? But oftentimes in the church we do. We're concentrating more on what we do than who we are and who we belong to. He chose us so that we would be holy and blameless before him. And in Christ, we are holy. We are set apart for him. Out of humanity, God sets us apart for him personally and for his use. We belong to him. We're his forever. And we are blameless in his sight. Been Christian more than 10 minutes or even been a human being for more than 10 minutes, you understand, not yet are we sinless, but we are blameless. Eventually that'll happen when we get our bodies redeemed. We will be out of the very presence of sin. But for now, we are blameless. The guilt and the shame and the power of sin were broken on the cross. And so we are free, just like we sang. We are free. Free in Christ. Woo, yeah. Holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as his son through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. God predetermined our destiny in eternity past, that he would bring us to himself and that he would make us sons. And the sons were the heirs in that culture. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ has will be given to us, not because we deserve it, but because of God's great, beneficial, extravagant grace that he chooses to lavish upon us. We will rule and reign with Christ in the millennial reign. We will be his forever with all of the benefits that the Son has enjoyed. In the 17th chapter of John's Gospel in the great high priestly prayer, Jesus prays and gives us the assurance that the exact love that the Father has had for him as the second person of the Holy Trinity, as God himself, that he has had forever, that same love he gives to us. So if you're feeling a little weak today or a little bit unloved, let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on Jesus. Let's get back to worshiping him. Let's get to that place of having a thankful heart and a tender heart toward him. He's done so much for us. And that's not even the end. I mean, I'm just getting started. So. It's according to the kind intention of his will. This is what God chose to do. And his will is always perfect. And nobody can keep him from fulfilling his will. He knows everything, past, present, and future. I mean, history had a beginning. It'll have an end. He knows everything as if it's just one day. And he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. No one can keep him from that. Doing what he wants to do. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm, I believe it's 115:3. Our God is in the heavens, and he does what he pleases. I love it. Nobody tells God what to do. Nobody gives him counsel. Listen, he's his own boss. Doesn't answer to anybody. I love it. And his will is always good, always perfect. Verse 6, the reason he did all this ultimately is to the praise of the glory of his grace. You have praise on your heart? Is it on your lips, you know, periodically, maybe often, maybe once a day, for the grace that God has extended to you, where he has chosen to love you and give you all these wonderful eternal benefits now and forever, just because he wanted to? I hope so. And I hope that after this, you might get in your car and start to head home and go, wow, thank you, Lord. Sometimes, you know, it's just as simple as a thank you, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I just go, wow, Lord. I mean, you know, what a trip. You adopted me as a son. Certainly you would have had to, as C.H. Spurgeon says, done that before the foundation of the world, because you certainly wouldn't have after I was born. So. I mean, let's get this right. We were all sinners, you know, saved by grace alone. Well, he freely bestowed it upon us, freely, without any obligation on our part, just out of his goodness. And it was all in the beloved. And we are all loved in the beloved, in his son, that he said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And because of that, when the Holy Spirit looks down into our lives, and looks through all of our little religious works and the sham and all of the rest that happens in our daily life, because we fall short so much. He sees Christ in us, and he is well pleased with Christ, and the Father is then well pleased with us. An amazing thing. We need to live up by the power of the Holy Spirit to what God sees, but our position, our standing before God is so absolutely secure. You never have to worry about where you stand with God. Because it was all of him and none of us. Time to break out the Kleenex. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. We're going to find out he makes known to us some very important things right now. But we are forgiven completely, past, present, and future, because of the blood of Christ, which John tells us in his first letter, continually, perpetually cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We've been saved by something so much more precious than gold or silver, the precious blood of Christ. All of our trespasses against God, you know what no trespassing signs say, huh? We broke them all. It says if you broke one of God's laws, you broke them all. We were all guilty before God. We all trespassed against his righteous and holy law. We never lived up to the standard that he had for man, which, of course, was impossible because it's him alone. He's the standard. But we are forgiven, absolutely. And not only that, as he redeemed us to himself, off the shelf, so to speak, sitting up there, not being used for the purpose we were created for. From the very slave market of sin, he redeemed us out, purchased us with his own blood, that we would be his. Established that glorious relationship that we have with him forever. All because of Christ, all because he decided to do that. None of it was determined by us. Amazing. This grace is lavished upon us God doesn't just give it in a small measure, but out of his infinite resources. It's grace upon grace upon grace. Everything we have, every breath we breathe, every hope we have for the future, the very peace we have in our heart is all grace. Takes us to a place of thanksgiving and praise, I hope. I know I need it. I need to be reminded over and over again. And then, in all wisdom and insight, the only wise God who knows all things, presently he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. There is coming a time when it will be the end of human history as we know it. There is coming the end of man. There is coming the time when God will be recognized as who he is. Paul tells the Philippians that there is a point when everybody, whether in heaven or on earth or under the earth, every created thing will bend the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will say, whether they want to or not, that Jesus is Lord, that name which is above all names, that he is God, the second person. We do it out of joy and reverence and thanksgiving to declare him as our Lord, our God, our Master, as our all in all. But there will come a time when those who have spurned his great love, those who have said, I don't want to have anything of your grace or your love or to be under your rule, even though it's a loving, merciful, gracious rule, they still will have to do that. And we will rule and reign with Christ, and we'll rejoice in the fact that Jesus will finally be recognized for who he is, and that he will finally set it straight and take back this world from the temporary owner of it, Satan himself. He won the victory on the cross, but it's going to come to its fulfillment at that time. All things are going to be summed up in Christ. And then there will be a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. And Jesus himself will be the light of heaven. And there will be no need for us to go anywhere because we will have constant fellowship with the Lord. And the other really cool thing is we won't be like we are now. We won't have the flesh to deal with that unredeemed part of our humanness. But we will be glorified. We will have bodies of flesh and bone. We will have had immortality take over for our mortality, and we will worship God perfectly forever and ever. And the light of heaven will shine his everlasting light on us. Oh man, so cool. Well, verse 12. This is to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Paul keeps bringing it back to that, doesn't he? God shows us off before the angels in heaven. And they long to look into it. They're amazed at what God does for sinners. It's really cool. See, he didn't have to save the angels. They made a choice. Two-thirds stayed with him. One-third went with Satan. But they didn't get salvation through the blood of Christ like we did. And so they look at that and they praise God and they worship him as the angels fly around his throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We are shown off. We are to the praise of his glory. And what an amazing thing. And it's all based on what he did for us. You know, everybody here has a testimony, don't we, on how we came to Christ. But the thing we have in common is that we all came the same way ultimately, didn't we? God came and interrupted our little sinful lives and showed us the truth about our predicament, how hopeless it was, and showed us his grace. Like Paul says, it's the kindness of the Lord that led us to repentance. Well, finally, in verse 13 and 14, we see the future. We've seen the past and the eternity when God chose us in his eternal mind. We see that we now are totally forgiven completely in the present. We also know what's coming in the future, so we have great hope. We're excited about that. It's called the blessed hope of the believer. It is the second coming of Christ. And just prior to that, he's going to come and take his church, take his bride, and we're going to see him finally face to face. Wow. So in verse 13, we get 13 and 14, and we have what's coming in the future for us. In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. There is inheritance coming. We can look forward to it. Peter tells us that it is imperishable. It's undefiled. It's reserved for us in heaven. No one can touch it. God is not going to change his will. God is not going to write us out. We can have absolute confidence that because of what Christ did for us, we will inherit all that God has in store for us. The fulfillment of our salvation will be there waiting for us to be in the very presence of the living God, unobstructed, with new hearts and new minds to the fullest extent, without the flesh to throw us off in our worship and our service for God. We will be overwhelmed, so filled up with the Lord forever and ever and ever, that the only thing we can do is to fall upon our face before him as the 24 elders do, as it was written in Revelation, as the angels continue to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We will know worship there with God and fulfillment and satisfaction like we only get a taste of here. And it's waiting for us, secure in the fact that God, who cannot lie, promised it. It is against his nature. His nature will not let him lie. That's why, if you want the absolute, complete, perfect truth from God that is written down, it is right here and nowhere else. In his holy written revelation, it's right here. May God forgive us if we don't take advantage of learning about him, if we don't dig deeply and rightly divide his word. What a wonderful thing. It is all for the praise of his glory. We are his possession. And as Jesus said, no one can take us out of his hand. And in his humiliation, Jesus said, "And my Father is greater than I, and no one can take my sheep out of his hand." We belong to him forever and ever and ever. If you feel your bank account, your spiritual bank account, is a little empty, just dig into the scriptures. See all that God has done for you, and you'll begin to see who God really is. And then hopefully and prayerfully, you'll be overwhelmed. We're going to have the prayer team come up, and we're going to have one last song that we're going to sing. And even though the prayer team's going to be up here, you can come up anytime you want. I hope that you will wait a few seconds and sing this wonderful modern hymn, "In Christ Alone," because it is so strong and so powerful and goes right along with what this is. So will the music team come up? But if the Holy Spirit has lit a fire under you and you need to come up, let's have the prayer team come up now and just be available, okay? I'm going to shut my mic off because I can preach, but I can't.